Well, last week, we were talking about giving. And I also told you that this week we would talk about some hindrances to receiving. And so we're going to get into that. But last week, we discovered that the Father owns everything. You remember that? Okay. We also discovered that we are His stewards. He has placed in our hands certain resources that the Father expects us to invest in. Okay? Not just desires, He expects us to invest in certain resources. You remember what those resources are? What are we to invest in? Say it louder. People's lives. Okay? That's the investment. If you don't get anything out of this message today, you need to get that. Many of you perhaps have investment portfolios. Some of you may have stocks and bonds and silver and gold, and you have these things in your investment portfolios. When we're talking about spiritual things, what does your investment portfolio look like? Who are you investing in? Who are you investing in? The greatest investment in life is in the lives of people for kingdom's purposes. So if we're not investing in people, we're not investing in the things that God wants us to invest in. Okay? So after service last week, a lady comes up to me and she says, "It's amazing the message you shared today, because the Lord laid on my heart that I was supposed to give $100 to somebody here at church. So I put it in a card, sealed it up, put it in an envelope, and gave it to her. And I was hoping she would open it up, because what I gave had to do a lot with what you were speaking on today. And so the lady opened it up, and I saw her tears coming out. I thought it must have been something I said, but it wasn't. Saw tears coming down her face. She opened it up, and I learned later that the Lord had told her that she was supposed to give $100 to the Haiti trip. But she didn't have $100. And so the Lord had given her the money through someone else. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? How God just begins to operate in these ways. You know, I thought about, too late, to have a dollar for each of you that I could give to you this morning, but I didn't have that many ones. I thought about it late last night. So that you can invest it. Yeah, I will too. And so you can invest it in other people's lives. So here's the thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and I don't even know if I don't know that I got all of the scriptures. Sometimes I give the scriptures and then the Lord brings other things, and so in 1 Corinthians 1:20 it says, "For all of the promises of God in Him are yes." All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. And in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So that means that every promise that God gave us in Scripture is ours for keeps. But do you think that every Christian really receives all of the blessings that God has? I don't think I've received all of the blessings that God has for me. And so, is it possible that there are some things that are stopping those blessings? And if so, what do we do about them? What are they? And what they do to them? Now, if something's stopping the blessings, I want to know what that is and what to do about it. Okay, that's kind of my mindset. I want to get to the root of it, and I want to root it out. So, were there blessings that Adam forfeited that God wanted to give him? Were there blessings that the Israelites forfeited that the Lord wanted to give them? Yes, they were. And so I'm assuming that there are probably some blessings that the Lord wants to give us that we're not receiving. So today we're going to be talking about removing the roadblocks which hinders the blessings. Okay? The first roadblock, go ahead and flip that over, please. The first roadblock is overcoming a reluctance to give. Overcoming a reluctance to give. I already told you that God owns everything. But the things that He has placed in your hands, He has placed in your hands for a purpose, and it's not just for you to enjoy yourself, but it's also to help others, because you are the steward of God's resources. How is God going to steward His resources if it's not through you? Okay? There's no other way that He's going to do it except through us. So I want you to listen. So being a steward of God's resources is an awesome responsibility. But it's also a great blessing and a great privilege that God would entrust to us His resources so that we can let them flow through us to other people. Okay? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Okay, so basically what that scripture says is that some of the money that God puts in your hand, puts in your wallet, puts in your bank account is seed money. And you can take God's seed money and you can eat it, or you can disperse it abroad. I brought some packets of seed this morning. Last year, somebody gave me some tomato plants from Russia. Russia seed. And they like wind and they like rain. And I will give you a few if you will not take them all. I want God to bless my tomatoes. Okay? Now, I took those plants, like some of the best fruit on the plants, I really wanted to eat them. But what I did, I salvaged the seed out of them. And so I have my own tomato seeds from these Russian tomato plants. Okay? Last year, there was like, we had our tomatoes, and in the fall, I don't know if you remember, there was like an 80-mile-an-hour gust of wind that came through. I put up a barricade around my tomato plants, put some stakes around it, and put the visqueen around it. Well, the 80-mile-an-hour gust of wind took away the visqueen and broke some of my stakes, but my tomato plants were okay. Isn't that crazy? I like these tomatoes. And by the way, they have a really good taste, too. A really good taste. And so, I'm so glad I didn't eat up my seed. I'm glad I didn't eat up my seed because now I've got some seed for this coming year. It's almost time to plant them. Almost time to reap some fruit. I love tomatoes. Nothing I like better than a good tasting tomato. I have never bought a good tasting tomato out here. Okay? But these are some good tasting tomatoes. I probably don't have enough seed for everyone, but I have some seed. And it's the same thing with the finances that God gives us. He gives you money in your hand to plant in other people's lives. Okay? And if you are a wonderful steward, we learned this last week, if you're a wonderful steward with God's resources, He continues to give you more, give you more, give you more. You know, everybody's wanting to know, where should I invest my money? Where should I invest my money? Where should I invest my money? I want to know that. What's a good stock? What's a good whatever? Well, the best place to invest your money is in the hearts and lives of people. Because as you do that, let me back up. In the hearts and lives of people for kingdom's purposes. For kingdom purposes. For kingdom purposes. Because as you do that, God begins to say, hey, I can trust him. I can trust her. I can trust them with my resources. And then he begins to bless you with more. And I can, you know, I could call people out in this congregation. I'm not going to do it because of I might embarrass them. But I see them giving, 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 and God continues to just bless them, bless them, bless them. Because they're not keeping all of their seed and they're not eating their seed, they're blessing others with it. In verse 10, here in verse 8, back up to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always, say always, just read the rest of that, always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So God wants not only supply your needs, but He wants you to have an abundance for every good work. An abundance for every good work. Look at verse 10 now. Verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So God wants to not only supply the seed to the sower. So who is the sower? We are. And who supplies the seed? God does. And he who supplies seed to the sower will supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Do you know why I have seed? It's not because I want to grow one tomato. Okay? It's not because I want to grow one tomato. I want my plants to produce a great harvest of tomatoes. I don't know, I would say that every tomato plant, there's dozens of tomatoes on that tomato plant. Okay? And I want my seed to bear well. And so one of the secrets that you need to understand, and one of the reasons I feel like perhaps that we are not receiving all of the blessings that God has for us, is that we're eating our seed. We're eating our seed and not giving the way the Lord... So what if you ask the Lord, how much of this is seed money? How much of this is seed? Where should I plant my seed? Do you believe that some of the money that God has given you and enriched you with is seed money? I believe that. So then you ask them, how much of it should I plant? And where should I plant it? Some of you are possibly planting all over the world. Some of you may be only planting into your children. I'm not sure how that, I don't know if that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. He's probably talking about planting in other areas of ministry. Now, one of the things that we have to do to break down the hindrances is overcome unbelief. Okay, that's the second thing, is overcoming unbelief. So, in order to do that, there are several things that need to take place, and the first thing you need to know is you need to know the character of God. I believe with all of my heart, if we understood the character of God, that would tear down a lot of our unbelief, because God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. We've been going through the book of Malachi. We're now into chapter 3 of Malachi. And Malachi 3:6 says this, I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Basically, he's saying, I am who I am. I'll never change. I don't have a bad day. Work doesn't get me down. I don't come in and kick the cat when I come in from work. My mood is the same. You will never see me. I am a Lord. I do not change. And the reason this is to prove it. You deserve death, Jacob. You deserve death, sons of Israel. But I've chosen not to kill you. I've chosen to bless you instead. I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, you need to know who God is. I think that's one of our greatest hindrances of not giving is because we don't know who God is. And you need to understand that God is faithful. You need to understand that He loves. He will always love. He will continue to love. He will never stop loving. That's who He is. He's a loving God. And another thing is that God always speaks truth. He never lies. Okay? God always speaks truth. He never lies. He's got all of these promises for us. And you say, well, God, you haven't done this for me. And God's saying, well, maybe it's something that you're doing that's keeping you from receiving the blessings. You've stopped the flow of the blessings. In the children of Israel's life, it was sin that stopped the flow. In Adam's life, it was the sin that stopped the flow. And perhaps in our lives, it's sin that continues to stop the flow of what God wants to do in our lives. We need to know God's character. And anything that goes wrong, that's, in your opinion, that goes wrong, we don't need to blame God. We actually need to look at ourselves and say, okay, God, what's going on here? Because I believe that God wants to bless us, but if we're not being blessed, it may be that we are doing something to stop that. Sometimes God is just testing us. Sometimes He's testing us. And if you're being tested in the area of finances, let me just say this. If you're being tested in this area of finances and you are unable to pay your bills at the end of the month, it's not a testing. It's something else. Okay? It's something else. So you need to find out what that something else is. Know the character of God. If you know that He never changes, if you know that He will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews says, then you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that He's got good things in store for you. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, this is what Scripture says. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Of what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How many of you like to do good things for your children? I mean, you kind of live for that. I really want to do good things for my kids. I just love to do good things for my kids. I've got my grandkids over, and they're going to spend this week with us, and Sam and Nicholas and John and Hadassah are going to spend some time with us, and we get to, I just love to hang out with them. What I love to do. Well, that's the way God feels about us. The same way God feels about us is the way we feel about our children and our grandchildren, because He loves us. He likes to hang out with us. And He likes to do good things for us. Sam's not, if Sam or Nicholas or any of the others came over and said, Grandpa, I'd like to have a bread. Or Grandma, they're not going to ask me for bread. But Grandma, I'd like some bread. She's not going to say, go get some rocks out of the driveway. She's not going to do that. What do you think she's going to do? You already got it. She's going to make some bread. Grandma, I want some cinnamon rolls. What's Grandma going to do? Cinnamon rolls. And the reason is because she wants to do, and I want to do, good things for our children and our grandchildren. And that's basically what the Scripture is saying. God is saying, I love you, and I want to do good things for you. If you were on a rock, you can ask for rocks. But listen, I've got better things for you than rocks. Okay? Now, everybody has bad days, right? Everybody has bad days. Hopefully this is not one of yours. But sometimes things just go wrong, and we get into an attitude, we cop an attitude, and then we have to settle down, and we have to get our heart right again, and da-da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? God never has a bad day. He never has a bad day. His character is always the same. Always the same. He never changes. His character traits are always good and loving and kind and giving. That's who He is. That's who He is. He's not going to wake up in the morning with a mood swing. Okay? He's going to be the same. He's going to be the same. So, one of the things we need to do to build our faith is to know who God is. Know His character. Another thing we need to do is read His Word. Understand His Word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're praying for faith and you're not reading for His Word, guess what? You're probably not going to get it. Faith comes not by praying, but by reading, by hearing, and not only that, by obeying God's Word. Okay? So when you read God's Word and you understand God's Word, then you need to step out and you need to start walking in the faith that God gives you. And as you do that, then you're going to be able to receive more of what God has for you. But you're never going to get faith until you step out in faith. Does that make sense? It's not just like somebody, he just waves a pixie stick over you and sprinkles you with pixie dust and you all of a sudden have faith. That's not the way it works. You have to step out in faith in order to receive faith. In order to have faith, you've got to walk in it. Okay, everybody understand? Okay. Another thing that we can do to build our faith is to listen to or read the lives of people who have actually did that before. So tonight we're going to be looking at a video by Reinhard Bonnke. And in that video, there's a portion that he tells how he started walking in faith financially. So I've asked TJ this is like a 30-minute video, but I'm only going to take about a 5-minute clip of it. So you're going to wonder, what went on before? What went on after? You'll have to come tonight to see that. Okay? So TJ, if you will play that, I would appreciate it. You want to turn those lights out, Larry?
What? I want to become a man of faith myself.
Turn it up a little bit.
They stressed there. They said, this is the school of faith. So if you learn to trust God in the school, you can trust Him anywhere in the world.
That's right.
And I said, I want to become a man of faith. I want to learn this lesson. And I think that was the most precious and important lesson I learned right there. So, how do I start? I thought, before I can trust God to supply my needs, I've got to give all my money away. How shall He supply me with something that I don't need?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, there was a passing missionary, and I don't know how many pounds I had, I think 20 pounds or so. And I thought, I give him 19 pounds. And 1 pound I keep as an iron reserve in case I urgently need toothpaste, you know. So I gave that missionary 19 pounds and 1 pound I just kept, you know. And then I started to pray and the Lord said, no, no, no. What about the 1 pound? I said, Lord, it's toothpaste. He said, can't you really trust me? That 1 pound is the proof. You won't really trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I let go of that 1 pound. I said, Lord, I'm now really empty. I emptied myself, and I want to learn to trust you. So I received an invitation to go and preach at a children's service at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days when they invited you, they never paid you a penny, not even the bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the single fare, but not the return fare. And one of my fellow students, my friend there, I said to him, let's go together. He said, I have no money for the bus fare. I said, I have a single fare for both of us. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he said? I said, let's trust God for the return fare. Let's test Him and see if it works for us, what works for our director. So we went to the beach, we had a wonderful little children's service, the time was up, and I said bye-bye, and I walked towards the bus stop. With every step, I prayed, oh Lord, please send the money. I need the bus fare back to the college, because I dare not be late. That was the next thing. Please send the money. And then all of a sudden I saw a pastor, one of the big churches there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him, he knew me, and when he saw me, he said, hey boys, how are you? I thought by myself, thank God, here comes my answer to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If God can speak to anyone here at this beach, it must be the man of God.
Mm-hmm.
He surely can listen to the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he invited us for a cup of tea. And he told us about all the wonderful answers to prayer he had. And time came to pay for the tea. He opened his purse. I saw all the money in there. My eyes nearly fell into it. You know? I saw so much money there. And I thought, oh, I only need the bus fare. Just 10 shillings. He gave me nothing.
Mm.
I said nothing, of course. I wanted to learn to trust God. Not man. So, We rose and walked again to the bus stop. It was now high time to return. And I was praying. I said, Lord, where's the money? I need the return fare. I need the return fare. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, a woman came running around the bend. And she grabbed my arm, put something into my hand, and she said, take this. This is for you. And I opened it, my hand. It was the exact bus fare for both of us. Oh, this was my first answer to prayer with regard to support. And I thought, I have learned a mighty lesson. It was not the money. Money comes and goes. Money is nothing. It comes and it goes. But that experience is indelible in my heart and life. And I realized, if God can supply my needs in a country where nobody knows me, he can do that in Africa as well, where nobody knows me.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, TJ. You can turn the lights back on. See, God is faithful. He never changes. He's always the same. The things you discovered about God yesterday, He will be the same forever. One of the things regarding His faithfulness is, He says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever. That's a promise from God. He has many, many promises in His Word. Not only financial promises, but spiritual promises as well. And God says, if you will come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. I will hold you in the palm of my hand. I will guide you. I will lead you. I will direct you if you will allow me to. But see, God is not one of these who forces Himself on people. He gently just asks and says, will you receive? Will you walk by faith? Will you take me by faith? Will you take my word by faith and will you act upon it? And some people say yes. Some people say no. I was visiting with a lady this past week. Came to my office. And if you've been in my office and we start our counseling session, I always start with prayer. And so as we were praying, or as I started to pray, I said, well, could we pray now? And she said, well, I need to tell you, I'm not a Christian. I've studied Buddhism. I've studied Wicca. I've studied, you know, all these other religions, and I'm not a Christian. And I said to her, as she was talking, you know, I was trying to listen to the Spirit and figure out what to say to her. Because I don't really know where to go. If you're not a Christian, I don't know why you come to me. Unless the Lord sends you. Okay. And so I said to her, Romans chapter 1 says that everyone knows the truth. When did you quit believing the truth? She said, and she told me, in her high school days, she got these friends, and they started talking about and doubts, you know, and so she started. And so later on, I said, you know the truth, don't you? And she nodded her head. I said, there's a difference in believing the truth and receiving the truth. I said, you believe the truth, but you've never received the truth. Would you be willing to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? She said, not right now. And I said, you know me, I'm God. Push it a little bit. And I said, well, you know what? There's an urgency within me that there's something that may happen to you before we meet again. And I just want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ. And she said, I know what you mean. You think that when I leave out, are you thinking that perhaps I might get in a car accident or wreck? And I said, yeah, that's kind of, you know, it could happen. And she said, no, I'm not ready to receive Christ. But I'm praying for her, that God gives her another chance, because Scripture says that God will not always strive with man. The God Spirit will not always strive with man. And whether she, you know, whether she's taken out prematurely, or whether the Holy Spirit just quits working on her, I don't know. But she's kind of playing Russian roulette right now. Okay? Playing Russian roulette. We don't know when Jesus is going to come either, do we? Kind of playing Russian roulette. Where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Where are you in your walk of faith? Where are you in your financial faith with the Lord? Where are you? Do you need to take the next step up? Listen to the Holy Spirit. We're going to give you an opportunity here in just a minute to make a decision that you need to make in regards to whatever God is asking you to do. We call it a time of invitation. Tom and Renee are going to come, and they're going to begin playing, and we'll sing along with them. But that's the time. If you want to come and talk to me, then I'm going to be here at the front. If you choose to just mark on your card, I need to talk to you, or I'm making this decision for Christ, that's okay, and I will get in touch with you. Okay? I'll get in touch with you. Or you can talk to Paul in the back or someone before we leave today. I would encourage you, don't leave without making that decision for Christ. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you never change. Thank you that you're always the same. Thank you that you are just loving, and God, we can come before you as a daddy and say, Dad, I need this. And if you think it's the best for us, then you'll give it to us. And so, Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to take the next step up in whatever area you're asking us to faith you in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.